Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I pull out a little Bodine's because I'm rewatching the show The Bear, and in the second season, this song, Still the Night, is featured. You know that band?
I do not.
You don't know the Bodines?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you got to know them. Yeah. They're from Waukesha, Wisconsin, actually. You know, the thing about the Bodines, which is really, really sad, and I've been a fan of theirs for 3 decades, is, and I think they were just here, or they're going to be here at a small club, but the lead singer and the guitarist have a big, big dispute going on and have for years because there's an accusation that one of them sexually abused the other's daughter, and so Sammy Yanis, who was in that band, is no longer in that band, and it's just so sad what happens sometimes to rock bands because
an unusual one though, Mark. Yeah. I mean, good grief.
The reason they're probably best known though is because of the song "Closer to Free," which was the theme song for Party of Five.
Yep.
So most people might know. You know what's interesting though? That's a band, Sue, and I'm trying to think if there would be a good example of someone from around here. I sometimes play Michael Stanley Band as bumpers, and Michael Stanley was from Cleveland, but he was very popular here in St. Louis, and he would fill seats here. The Bodines, I've seen them in front of 16, 17,000 people, maybe even more than that, in Milwaukee at Summerfest. They come to St. Louis or they come to Columbia, Missouri. They play a club. So they were very popular regional acts. Chicago.
Right.
They were very popular in Chicago, but Shooting Star was a band that was from Kansas City years ago, hugely popular in St. Louis because of Kesha.
Yeah, essentially.
And, I remember talking to friends of mine in Chicago. They had no idea who Shooting Star was. So it happens every once in a while. We got Kilmeade coming up here in just a little bit for our weekly conversation. Reminder that tomorrow we'll have a Reardon Roundtable. I think we might still be cobbling together the panel. Sue might have to fill in tomorrow. And just being honest with the audience, the challenge is it's the final day of the legislative session. A lot of our panelists are either lawmakers or they're lobbyists, so they're in Jeff City doing their final work. We'll see what we can put together for tomorrow. Or we'll just, hang out, Sue. I have no idea what's going to happen. Tim Graham's coming up here. He was in Congress yesterday testifying about bias in the funding of NPR. He's the executive editor of the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. But before we get to Tim, let me just play a little of Marcy Kaptur, who is a congresswoman from Ohio, who actually thinks that everything's just fine with NPR.
Public broadcasting belongs to everyone. And I think it should exist. I think we should improve it. I think it should be used for teaching in more ways than are currently done. So I just think that there's a role for that in our media frenzy environment in which we live.
Nope. I say defund. Now, Tim Graham was there testifying. We played some of his audio yesterday. He is the Media Research Center's Newsbusters executive editor. Tim, how are you this afternoon?
Good.
How'd that go overall, did you think?
Look, it was the last time I testified to Congress was 25 years ago, and it was almost the same topic. It was PBS. Democrats hate having a hearing on public broadcasting if you're actually discussing the content, because They don't want any change from the way it is now. They think it's perfectly objective and wonderful. At least that's what they'll say. You know, our whole point was, you know, how do I get this under 2,000 words, right? When I start writing about all the things that are wrong, all the things that they do. I mean, I routinely write about NPR and Newsbusters. I listen to it in my car. I said that yesterday. I said, I'm not somebody who doesn't know what I'm talking about on NPR. I listen to it in my car, into work and out of work. Then I come in and write about it at work. It's terrible. It's very one-sided, and everybody should know it.
Well, I completely agree, and some of us have known this for a long time. And were there Republicans yesterday that sided with not defunding that were on the other side of you?
Not in the hearing.
Okay.
But there, I know that Fox, you're a soundbite there's from Fox News.
Yeah.
They found a Fox News, they found a Republican from Nebraska, I believe, who was like, I don't want to defund it. You know, and usually when that happens, you know what that says to me? I have a good relationship with the NPR station in my district.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Look, I've been in non-subsidized government radio for 40 years, and this stuff, you know, you've been talking about this for decades, right? I've been talking about NPR for decades and the unfairness. I've been talking about media bias for a long time. Bernie Goldberg put it on the radar late 90s with his book Bias. But now with Uri coming out a few weeks ago, it was very interesting, Tim, to guys like you and I, because here you have some public affirmation. Although the rest, the side on the left, they want to say nothing to see here.
Well, what made his indictment so valuable is that he worked in the system for like 25 years. You know, he'd been there, and he said over the last 6 or 7 years, he had really started to make internal complaints about guys were not balancing this enough. Or I think one of the things he really objected to was, guys, we're just not going to use whatever terminology the pro-Hamas journalists want us to use, you know, and they were basically like, oh, no, yes, we will. We're going to say, you know, the Gaza Health Ministry sent tens of thousands of children were murdered by the Israelis, you know, and then present it like it's objective information. So, I mean, having an insider say the same things that we're saying, somehow it meant so much more. But it's sort of like, again, I can listen to the on-air product and tell you it's terrible.
Yeah, let me ask it this way. Let me ask a question this way. I have friends who are NPR listeners, and they feel, Tim, and you probably know this too, they feel like, oh, you know, Fox News is biased. And then I think some of them think, well, CNN's biased in the other direction. I'm going to go to NPR, and I'm going to get this news unfiltered. So if someone would come to you and say that, you know, I'm just an NPR fan. I don't see what the issue is. How would you try to convince them that what they're hearing is completely one-sided and a lot of the information that they're hearing has been left out?
Oh, I would say to a friend of mine, I would say NPR is MSNBC. PBS is MSNBC. There's really not a dime's worth of difference. And you can see that these people show up on CNN and MSNBC. NPR people show up. Asma Khalid's going to be on the Inside Politics on CNN. You know, that's just the way it is. Michelle Sinders on PBS, she shows up on MSNBC. She actually then moved to MSNBC. They move backwards and forwards. Jeff Bennett was at MSNBC, and now he runs the PBS NewsHour. I mean, they are the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who would try to say, yes, CNN's liberal, but NPR's not, it's like, again, I don't think you're listening.
No, they're not. They're not paying attention. So, you know, you guys sent out some things that were, I would put them in the category of lowlights from the hearing yesterday. Let's feature one here. Congressman Frank Pallone, who's from New Jersey, he accused people investigating NPR's political tilt of a disturbing return to the dark days of McCarthyism, when instead he says the House should crack down on private right-wing media organizations that have a long history of peddling misinformation, disinformation, promoting partisan agendas, and sowing fear and division. Now, I'm confused, Tim. Was Frank talking about MSNBC and NPR? Because, you know, when you look at misinformation, disinformation, wow, I could make a much stronger case for NPR, MSNBC, CNN, Vanity Fair, The Rolling Stone, The St. Louis Post-Dispatch, The New York Times, The Washington. Should I go on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what you do when you, he said, he was the one that said this hearing's a complete waste of time. He's the one that likes NPR exactly the way it is. And we, I understand, like, oh, he's the Democrat and this is today's Democrat Party line. But to try to compare it to McCarthyism is just bizarre. Because it's like, no, we're not saying there are Communist Party members inside NPR. No, what we're trying to say is there's a lot of Democrats inside NPR, but somehow he thinks that's McCarthyism. You know, I just get a kick out of this whole pretense that Fox News is horrible, but NPR is fantastically right. objective. You know, several of the Democrats said, well, the ranking member was like, well, they're objective and you just don't like objective reporting. And that you just have to laugh at that.
What you do, you know, it's interesting because I've admitted this on the air for the longest time. I was a viewer. I'm not going to say a fan, but I was a CNN viewer. And a lot of that goes back to the, you know, to the 1980s when I was still at the University of Missouri and the space shuttle exploded. And, you know, CNN was very new at the time. And then you get into the Gulf War and you tend to think, all right, this is a news organization that's going to give me information. Now, I probably should have left it a long time ago, Tim. But when the Brett Kavanaugh hearings in particular came about, I just had enough. And it wasn't like I wasn't watching Fox, but I was kind of stuck to CNN just for a monitoring purpose. But I would make the case, having seen plenty of CNN, having seen plenty of NBC and CBS, and now having seen plenty of Fox, and you'll never convince people of this, but I would take friends of mine and say, look, you watch Fox during the day, and I know Hannity and Laura, look, they're talk show hosts. They have their opinions. But if you watch the news coverage, even Peter Ducey, who asks questions that nobody else will ask, that seemingly are questions that the other side really should be a little curious about, I'd put their just flat-out news coverage against anyone out there when it comes to fairness.
Yeah, I would also say this, in terms of the guest count, you're going to get more authentic Democrats on Fox News than you're going to get Republicans on CNN or Republicans on MSNBC, especially MSNBC.
Oh, sure. I mean,
MSNBC only likes Republicans like Michael Steele. You have to be like completely in the bag for Joe Biden. And then they run around and say you're a Republican, which is absurd. There's more Democrat pushback on a show like The Five. You know, there's nothing like that on MSNBC. You know, there's no place where there's a staff conservative on MSNBC. I mean, look at Twitter. Whenever Andrea Mitchell is trending on Twitter, it's a bunch of people saying she's horribly conservative. That's the MSNBC audience can't stand an opponent's point of view. You know, when Katie Turr said to Nancy Pelosi, she said Trump has the worst jobs record ever, and she goes, well, it was during a pandemic, and she was like, how dare you say that, you know? And that's MSNBC is much more closed-minded in a sense. There's more of a discussion going on at Fox. We all know that Fox is leans to the right, but it's got more space in it.
Yeah, I would agree. Tim Graham, executive editor of the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. So what can you say about Catherine Marr not appearing? Was that discussed during that hearing yesterday? She's the new head of NPR.
Yeah.
Obviously, the focus of some controversy. I'd love to hear her grilled by some of these members of Congress, but she was a no-show.
Yes, I said to the Republicans before the hearing, when they were just beginning to set up and they were asking if I was available, and I said, what the dream hearing here is, you put Catherine Marr here at the table and you sit Uri Berliner right next to her. That would be a show.
Oh, yeah.
But she, you know, they claimed I have an all-day conflict, you know. So the test in this is to see if make sure the Republicans go back and find a date and put her on the stand. And I may have to go down there and sit right behind her and laugh at particular moments if she manages to appear. They didn't want this to be newsworthy. If Marr shows up at this hearing, then the Washington Post, the New York Times might have to cover it. The New York Times or the Washington Post can say, this is a pile of conservatives and some socialists nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
But if she shows up or Berliner shows up, then it's a news event. So I don't want to say I'm not newsworthy, but hey,
that's your point. I get the point. So where do you think, the final question then, where do you think this is headed with Joe Biden in the White House? There's no real chance of defunding. Is there, what do you think we talked about this for years, Tim, you've talked about it for years. There seems to be a little bit, well, I'd say a lot more momentum right now, but you got to have the right people in office.
Correct. And I don't have a lot of optimism about defunding, but I think it needs to be talked about. We certainly need to keep making the point that it's offensive to take taxpayer money from Republicans and conservatives and kick them in the keister with it. It's not fair to make me give money so they can put Nina Totenberg on to smear Clarence Thomas or Brett Kavanaugh. That's offensive. And I really almost never expect defunding to happen. I think a spending cut would be interesting, but you know, they, like everybody in government, you propose to cut them by 10% and they think you're beheading them. So they just, we're just going to keep complaining about what actually goes on the air, and what is on the air is unfair and imbalanced.
Keep on them, Tim Graham. Thank you so much for coming on here and reporting back just a day after this hearing. Very appreciate it.
You bet.
The only problem is I feel like we're preaching to the choir. And, you know, the people who listen to this station, they know how there's bias in the media. But the people, and I don't know if you heard me say to Tim that there were a couple of folks that I sent Uri Berliner's article to when he put that up on the Free Press, because I thought, you know, I knew that they were NPR listeners. And I thought, look, I'm not trying to campaign for Trump or nothing like that, but read this and tell me it really shouldn't matter what your politics are. Flip the script. Let's say the same things were happening, but it was happening against Republicans. It shouldn't really matter if we're talking about accuracy in journalism and reporting. But they're, you know, and I guess we all live in our bubbles and they didn't want any part of it. And most of the people I sent it to said they didn't read it. So I don't know how you're going to change
mics.
By the way, this is interesting. And this is anecdotal, but I'm just going to read this because I saw this on Twitter. I retweeted it a short time ago. Again, anecdotal, Sue, however interesting, given the nature of where we are right now with this presidential election. There's a guy on Twitter, it doesn't really matter who he is, it says Dr. Eli David, a close friend of mine was an extreme Trump hater during the entire 4 years of Trump's presidency. He obsessed day and night about how Trump is destroying the U.S. This is the text message he sent me today following Biden's arms embargo on Israel. The guy writes, I'm voting for Trump. I'll buy the red hat and the gold sneakers. Now, maybe that's just someone being funny right now just because he's mad about what, you know, Biden did. But on the other hand, I think we talked about this a little bit, and Kilmeade's coming up as well. There are a lot of people in this particular country that are going to be very put off. I mean, what would you say if you're a Jewish American right now and you see not only what's happened on college campuses, but then you got a guy who, at least at first, seemed like he was standing by the Israelis against terrorists.
Right.
But now he seems like he's favoring the terrorists over Israel's right to defend itself. So I'm rather shocked by that, and I think it's going to flip a lot of votes in the end. But that means people, my guess would be those would be people would be more likely to not vote.
I would agree.
Than to vote for Trump, but it might have, you know, similar effect. One more thing I just wanted to toss in here. I'm not familiar with this app, Sue. I always feel like I learn things when it comes to the way people use technology. Have you ever heard of the encrypted messaging service that is called Signal?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Shows what I know. Mm-hmm. Is that because of your work in real estate?
No, actually, it was because Michael had it for something, going back and forth with business for something, and then we added it so we could do that ourselves.
Interesting. Well, Chris Rufo wrote about this in the City Journal. Rufo's a guy that really put the CRT stuff on the radar a couple years ago. He's very close with our friend Josh Hammer, who's a regular on the show, and this is what he reported today about Signal. He says, that is the application of choice for dissenters around the world. The app has been downloaded by more than 100 million users and boasts high-profile endorsements from NSA leaker Edward Snowden, serial entrepreneur Elon Musk. Signal has created the perception that its users, including political dissidents, can communicate with one another without fear of government interception or persecution. But Rufo says the insider history of Signal raises questions about the app's origins and its relationship with government, in particular with the American intelligence apparatus. Such a relationship would be troubling given how much we've learned in recent years about extensive efforts to control and censor information undertaken by technology companies, sometimes in tandem with government officials. And he kind of goes into the origin story of Signal. It's technically a nonprofit. It was funded in part through a $3 million grant from the government-sponsored Open Technology Fund, which was actually spun off from Radio Free Asia, and it was established as an anti-communist information service during the Cold War, of all things. But here's sort of the kicker, and this is how it ties in with the previous conversation. Rufo says, the other potential problem is that the Signal Foundation's current chairman of the board is Catherine Marr, who started her career as a U.S.-backed agent of regime change. And he kind of goes into some of her background, but of course, she's the one that's running NPR right now. So that's kind of an interesting under-the-radar story reported in City Journal today. 525, Kill Me, it's coming up next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Audio cut of the day coming up. Don't forget, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. I think we've actually filled the panel. Fred told me during the break we have former State Senator Jeff Smith here, Jane Duker, and Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka. We were a little challenged on Jane's side of the table just because the legislative session is coming to a conclusion, and we have a lot of panelists that are either in the legislature or they work in the legislature, so a little tougher this week, but we've got it all booked up. We'll have Paul Hall on entertainment tomorrow at 4:20. We also have Cusimano and TJ Miller, who is, I think, a pretty funny comedian and actor. He's going to be in town at the Funny Bone this weekend. He's going to join us in the studio tomorrow afternoon as we try to lighten it up as we head into the weekend. And we're also giving away more tickets tomorrow to Concert Week. This is a great week for Live Nation. Your chance to win either tickets for Train and REO Speedwagon, Earth, Wind & Fire in Chicago, the Doobie Brothers, Need to Breathe, or OAR. Another chance for you to win tomorrow right here on 97.1 FM Talk. It's funny because I've been given this... I mean, I know what the contest is, but I'm given this little sheet as a host to you know, kind of read through. And it says on here, I don't even know if Abby knows this. It says, caller number 18. So don't call now, by the way, because we're not doing it right now. But I don't think I've ever done a caller number 18. I really don't think I've done anything over 10, but they wanted me to do caller number 18. So maybe I'm just going to do that to Abby tomorrow. Hey, look who's back with us for his weekly conversation, Mr. Brian Kilmeade. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk, the co-host of Fox and Friends. We'll also talk about his show One Nation on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central. Kilmeade, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, good, Mark. What's up with you?
I'm going to ask you for something a little different here this afternoon because I'm going to have faith and confidence that you heard that really weird deal that Lawrence O'Donnell did on MSNBC the other night where he was speaking in his very sexy, sultry voice about Stormy Daniels. Can you do the whole segment here this afternoon just like Lawrence did on MSNBC?
I would, but I don't think I don't want to get you all excited, especially because you still have Friday to get ready for. Yeah, I mean, they just love mocking Trump, and it's a joke, and I think it outlined the fact that she has no role in this case except to embarrass the president. But legally, I've not seen anyone who thought she brought value to it. And the thing is, who brings value, Mark, is that you need to find out where the payments came from. You need to find out what they thought about it. You need to find out if she knew it was about the family or if she knew it was about the campaign. None of this stuff came up. In fact, they destroyed her by saying, is it true you talk to dead people? Yes. Is it true your house was full of paranormal activity? Yes. What are your goals? I like to direct porn, and I also like to tell you the sex is real. Okay, fantastic. Let's put the president in jail now. For what? For keeping that story quiet? Allowed. Hush money payments? Allowed. NDAs? Allowed. What the whole thing was, you use campaign cash in order to do it. And if you did do that, you pay a fine. You don't go to jail. Unless it's part of a huge conspiracy to throw the election for Trump. Are we not over this by now? Are we not understanding that he beat the Access Hollywood? He beat all the other stories. He beat everyone else coming out. He won every debate. And in turn, it was her, 2016, if we have to relive it, it was Hillary Clinton that is the one with the emails. She was the one who John Podesta, they got hacked. She was the one to let out all those communications. She was the one who gave it to her assistant to put it on Anthony Weiner's laptop. That's what caused Comey to come out twice and exonerate her. She was the one who launched the Russia investigation. Yet she gets prominent places on other networks talking about how bad Trump is and how justice delayed is justice denied. Yeah, you should be in jail if anybody. Personally, this has turned out to be a joke. I just hope the jury's up for the challenge.
I do, too. And maybe I have a little faith. I thought, by the way, I think Carrier Bond has been doing a great job at covering this trial. One of the things he said yesterday after Stormy's testimony is because, you know, even though it's ridiculous, it's achieving what Alvin Bragg is trying to achieve in this particular case, because the jury's hearing all this salacious nonsense. It's making Trump look really bad. And that in and of itself is probably just planting that in their minds going to be effective.
Maybe, but it has nothing to do with the case. You could be a terrible person, a ruthless CEO. But the question is, are you on trial for what? Stealing from the company? Well, he's a terrible leader, terrible CEO. He's selfish. No. Did you steal from the company? So just keep to what the case is. That's all. My hope is clear from this. The judge makes it clear what the case is about. One thing has nothing to do, almost nothing to do with the other. And the thing is, this is sex. Got it. This was a relationship with Karen McDougal out of the marriage. Understand it. One was a very bad judgment. Gets worse every day. Understood it. Join the club of people who make bad judgments, not if their relationship of finances, picking the wrong spouse, bad parenting, not making bad decisions. Okay, crack it up to made bad decisions. But is it illegal? Is it enough to put somebody in jail and take the leading candidate for president and just pull him off the trail, put him with an ankle bracelet, and tell him he's got to stay in his New Jersey golf club? I mean, that to me would create total anarchy in this country. And now it looks like the document case is delayed. The immunity situation with January 6th is real. Georgia, it should never have been brought, and that woman is corrupt. And now she doesn't want to stand and answer questions about an ethics and violence.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, please.
Well, you know, and in this case, maybe we just have to hold out faith that juries are very difficult to predict. We know that. I've covered many trials back in the day when I was more of an anchor reporter. And, you know, you just when you think you got the jury figured out, they do something that maybe is unexpected. So maybe that'll happen here. What do you make of this turnaround right now with Joe Biden?
I've made it clear to Bibi and the War Cabinet, they're not going to get our support if, in fact, they go in these population centers. We're not walking away from Israel's security. We're walking away from Israel's ability to wage war in those areas.
So it's not over your red line yet?
Not yet, but it's we've held up the weapons.
He's going wobbly on Israel. He's doing it, I guess, because of the election. But this one's pretty stunning, isn't it, Brian?
Stunning, historic, for all the wrong reasons. You know, I talked to Joe Manchin. I had to do the interview today for Saturday, and I asked him about this. He is not on board with it. Senator Fetterman is not on board with it. So moderates who, you know, just sensible people understand American history are not on board with it. All I ask you is, before me and you make a decision, just find people military in your life that have actually been in warfare, and you ask them to find out the real numbers and ask them what, take a look at a satellite image of Gaza. And if you talk to people at military war colleges and others that know the terrain, they're doing a great job of making sure civilians don't get killed. It is almost impossible to work in an environment where the people you're trying to kill are using the people you're trying to avoid killing as human shields. while they go subterranean. So now we're sitting back, and Joe Biden, who's never been in the military, Jake Sullivan, does that look like a war veteran to you, or garage band rhythm guitarist Anthony Blinken? Does that look like people that should be consulting the IDF on how to take out Hamas in Gaza? So I don't believe the 35,000 that are dead. I don't believe that two-thirds are all women and children. I believe it's more like 20,000, 21,000. And the word is as many as 14,000 are Hamas. And who knows how many other people are there. Now, look, there's corridors could have got set up maybe a little bit quicker, possibly. I'm not sure. But do you know that Cindy McCain tells Joe Manchin? I'll give you something he just said to me. I did not know. Do you know that they're finding that Hamas is stealing over half of the aid and they're reselling it, the stuff they don't use, they're reselling it, making citizens buy the stuff that we're bringing over there. And the Israelis know this stuff, but yet they got to play the world game and hand it over. So Cindy McCain tells Joe Manchin, please tell me where the political agenda is in that communication. Who tells me on television that half the aid, if not two-thirds of the aid, are going right to Hamas, who are reselling it back to the people?
Wow, that's fascinating. And that interview with Manchin is going to be Saturday night on the show.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. There's 1 hour between us, right?
Yeah, awesome. All right, I gotta highlight this because here again, you and I have spent some time. I know probably you more than I ripping on Eric Adams for some of the things that he's done in New York City, but I think a lot of people were very impressed with this.
In spite of the unpopular notion that people don't want to say it, I want to say it. I love America, and I would not stand by while people desecrate memorials for those who fought for democracy and human rights. The same rights that they are calling for, they are desecrating the lives of people who fought for that.
Yeah, good for Eric Adams. Now, I said this, Brian, yesterday. I haven't heard this president, Joe Biden, say something along those lines even.
Never. In fact, he didn't bring up the hostages at the speech, which was a very good speech at the Holocaust Museum. And by the way, my bad. I heard that, and I can't believe I didn't bring that back. He said a couple of things. He was upset about the disrespect to the cops. He was upset about what they were saying in the streets, the anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic things. And it was one of these things where he's reading off cards. Then I watched one of these raw press conferences, which are the best, where especially with the NYPD, because they got assistants that you never see and chiefs that you'll never know. And they get up there and they start describing these blocks and what they're doing and who these people are, and they provide video of them training the students to take this building. You know, and these guys, it's despicable. They're defiling, you know, he just talked about how they need the okay to go in, but they want to go in, and what they represent is not our... And I thought he was just really strong, and he gave maybe a 15-minute open remarks without a single note card. And I like it, too, because, you know, when you grow up in the inner city, and you go in an environment where the teachers are subpar, maybe the schools are run down, and you have a single-parent family, which he had to experience. And he became a police officer, was in trouble as a kid. Police officer, became a borough president, then this. And a lot of people are upset by it. But I like that life story. That, you know what, the country, it's not fair in many cases. It's not fair. Got it. Can't afford private school. Understand it. There was no grants or charter schools then. But I still love the country. And that's when I go back in history, you know, this when there's so much inequity and so much imbalance, and still people love the country. We got to get back to that.
No, look, he was passionate. You could tell that he meant it. He was angry about it. And you don't hear that even from our mayor in St. Louis. You certainly don't hear it from members of the squad like Cori Bush. So I can have respect for Eric Adams. We can agree on a lot of different issues. But I think that it was impressive to hear that he was coming from the right spot when it comes to this country. What else do you have coming up on Saturday night that you want to promote? Anything else, Brian?
Yeah, Ari Fleischer is going to be on. This guy, Johan Hari, you might have heard of, called the Strat. He wrote a great story about what phones are doing to us. He was one of the first. He did this whole study on Ozempic, Mounjaro, and all these others to lose weight. He did it for himself. He was 47 pounds, but he met with doctors around the world, from Iceland to Russia, about what the after effects are, and outlines it wonderfully. So it's probably one of the hottest issues in the country, certainly the hottest drug. I think you're going to love what his study reveals and why he did it and why some others shouldn't. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I love that. What's it? Remind me of his name again. What's his name?
It's Johan Hari. It's called Magic Pill. Johann Harry, H-A-R-R-I.
I might have to poach that guest because that, you know, I've seen there's been some good coverage on Ozempic in the Wall Street Journal, maybe the most thorough that I've seen. So that is an interesting topic for sure. Kilmeade, you have a great week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Go get it, Mark Reardon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The governor sounds a little crabby, doesn't he, these days? He was on with in the morning show. Ryan Williams was filling in. But I have, it's interesting timing because I have audio cut of the day, which actually features Governor Parson in a very rare moment of, how would you describe it? He was very stern.
Animated.
He didn't like what
yeah.
was happening. Yeah, well, yeah, he's just stern. a little more forceful than usual on the topic of fellow Republicans. So we'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes. We have a full show tomorrow. Absolutely get started with the Reardon Roundtable at 3 o'clock. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. And one of the things I want to talk about, Sue, is I brought this up earlier with the team. This is in the Post-Dispatch right now. They have a program that they're experimenting with or proposing. Well, I guess it's not proposed. It's going to happen. They describe it as about to debut a new weapon, Sue, in the region's war on temporary license plates. They're going to just basically give people money so they can pay their insurance and get their tax.
I hate it so much.
The city, now, mind you, since we have no other needs in the city of St. Louis,
of course, none.
They could easily pluck out $350,000 to help people pay for proper registration and insurance.
Are they going to send me a check? Of course, it won't be me, but send people checks? Do we have to line up? I mean, do we even have a process for this yet?
You know what? That is actually a really good
question.
How
are they going to know? Is it triggered when you purchase a vehicle that you live in the city of St. Louis and therefore it will? None of this is going to work.
So this is interesting because I remember this and we didn't feature it that much, but I do remember hearing about it. So last August, St. Charles actually launched a temp tag tip line and they said,
oh, I love it.
Send your pictures in, right?
Love it.
They got 4,000 submissions inside
yes.
of a year. It's not even been a year, and police officers followed up with a number of tickets.
Love it.
That's a good idea. But in the city, we want to coddle people.
Ugh.
It says here, the exact details of the plan are still being worked out. Uh-huh. This is a very good question, right? A request for proposals says loan recipients will need to be city residents, Sue. Hey, you qualify.
Yeah, I
you
sure
qualify.
Do.
But it does not spell out the limits on the recipient's income level or whether the city will charge interest on the loans. So are they?
Oh, they're loans. They're
well,
not even.
That's.
Well, that's
I guess
not
it says
no.
That's not going to work because if they can't pay,
right?
How
here. Are they going to pay the loan then with interest? None of that.
Yeah,
makes
it does
sense.
Say they're going to loan the money. So the people that can't pay for their insurance, they'll owe the city of St. Louis instead, and at least they'll have insurance. They won't be able to renew it because they won't be able to have any money after that. It doesn't make any sense.
No,
right?
No.
So we're just, I think what I just described there was a pretty strong effort on the part of Tish and the team at City Hall to flush $350,000 down the toilet. And I could have used that. You know, you could have cleaned up
Me
some
too.
Intersections around town. You could have cleaned up some of the trash. You could maybe put a little effort into 911 calls.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about the police budget a little bit. I think a lot of us could have gotten very creative in trying to find some ways to spend $350,000. But that's one of the topics that we'll talk about on the roundtable. Former State Senator Jeff Smith will be here. Jane, of course, on the panel. And Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka. One of the things that I want to talk about, Dan Buffa chimed in earlier today. He's done some stuff with us on entertainment, and he works with the team at the Galleria, Sue. And tell me if you wouldn't be down for this. I actually told you earlier, I bought tickets for, I rarely go to a movie. My daughter has a birthday party she's going to at Busch Stadium. It's like a Taylor Swift experience.
How fun is that?
And she gets to hang out at the Lowe's Hotel.
Wow.
So Becky and I kind of have a date night, and I bought tickets for the Fall Guy just because I thought, you know what? I'd like to go see a movie in a theater. We have the night off. But Buffa pointed out, this might sound even like more fun, that this weekend at the Galleria, you know how they pull back some of the classic movies? They're doing, on the big screen this weekend, Friday night and Saturday night, Bull Durham. Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon, great, great movie.
Oh, that's great.
What's the date today?
Today is the 9th.
Okay, so they're actually doing it tonight at 7 p.m.,
okay,
tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., and on Sunday at 1:30 p.m.
That's
and the
fun.
Ticket prices are $7. And on the May 10th show in the morning, $5. So if you're just looking for something to do, you can check that out. Back on the big screen, Kevin Costner and Susan Sarandon. That's a great movie. I haven't seen that one in a while. Let's do this here this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, I got two here. And I played part of this one earlier, but I haven't heard the whole glorious soundbite, neither of you. This is a protester and some protesters at Princeton. And Sue, we need to help them because they're starving. They're immunocompromised.
This is the dumbest thing.
Absolutely unfair. My peers and I, we are starving. We are physically exhausted. I am quite literally shaking right now. We are both cold and hot at the same time. We are all immunocompromised. And based on the university's meeting yesterday with some of our bargaining team, they would love to continue physically weakening us because they can't stand to say no to unjust murder.
The bargaining team. She's got a bargaining team.
Gosh.
And unjust genocide, right?
Yeah! Go back to your dorm.
Yeah.
I truly do not feel like I am doing anything special. This is my choice, and I would not spend my birthday doing anything other than being here and standing in solidarity with you all and standing in solidarity with our siblings and innocent people in Gaza.
You know, I did not see that particular protester, but let me take a little stab here this afternoon. And I've cut myself short so I can't include the Governor Parson audio, and we'll talk about that on the roundtable. But let me just kind of take a little stab here at describing her. She's white. She's probably fat. She has a nose ring, and she is super ugly because 98% of these protesters fit that description. And I don't know why!
Get more at 971talk.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.